Guided by his example, we walk the righteous path. In the footsteps of the prophet with faith and steadfast. In the footsteps of the prophet with faith and steadfast.
الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيد الأنبياء والمرسلين أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الصلاة والسلام عليك يا رسول الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا حبيب الله الصلاة والسلام عليك يا نبي الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا نور الله My dear viewers of Mother Nature Channel, welcome back to another episode, episode number 5 this time, of In the Footsteps of the Prophet, the greatest of all mankind, the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. Within this series, we discuss, speak about the blessed seerah, the blessed life, the blessed biography of the greatest of all mankind, the peace of our hearts and our minds, the most generous and kind, the last and final prophet and messenger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Rasulullah Muhammad Mustafa sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa ala alayhi wa sallam. There are many blessings and virtues in sending salawat upon Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has stated, Man salla alayya salatan wahidatan sallallahu alayhi ashra, that he who recites salat upon Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa ala alayhi wa sallam once, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bestows 10 blessings upon that person. My dear viewers, we should make it a regular habit of ours to send salawat upon Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa ala alihi wa sallam in abundance. This will inshallah increases in our love for Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa ala alihi wa sallam, which is our iman. Yes, true and complete iman. My dear viewers, inshallah, for this we must love Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa ala alayhi wa sallam more than ourselves, more than our parents and the entire creation. Let's all together recite salawat. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa ala alihi wa sallam. Now previously we heard a little about the life of Sayyidina Abdul Muttalib, who was a grandfather of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. As we also previously touched upon Sayyidina Abdullah radhiyallahu ta'ala anhu, who was the father of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. There's not much that we know about Sayyidina Abdullah radhiyallahu ta'ala anhu. We mention as how he married Sayyida Amina radhiyallahu ta'ala anha from the Banu Zuhra. He married her, he consummated the marriage. And when Sayyidatuna Amina radhiyallahu ta'ala anha had Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam within her womb, meaning she was 2 months pregnant, this was when, according to the majority of the scholars, according to the Rajih, in the preferred opinion, that's when his beloved father, Sayyidina Abdullah radhiyallahu ta'ala anhu, who had gone on a business trip, he was returning to Makkah al-Mukarramah. But on the return, on the way, there was a city which we have spoken about, Yathrib, later known as a city of Medina al-Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But at that time it was known as Yathrib. This was a place of illness, a place of disease. Many people passed away. And sadly, Sayyidina Abdullah, by the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Sayyidina Abdullah, the father of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, had also passed away within that city. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was yateen, meaning he was yatim in the meaning that he was an orphan. Literally, he was born without a father. Yes, when Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa ala alihi wasallam, he came into this world, his father had already passed away. Now, we did say that we shall be speaking about the birth of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And yes, we shall be hearing about the birth. Previously, we heard Sayyida Amina radhiyallahu anha, she states that while she had Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, she didn't feel pain. She didn't feel a migraine. She didn't feel the sickness that many women would experience. But she didn't experience those pangs, but rather she felt ease, she felt happiness, she felt satisfaction and tranquility. Because Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is nur, he brought to ease sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa ala alihi wa sallam. There are many other incidents, some of them, inshallah, we shall touch upon. And one is that upon the birth of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, now according to the most valid opinion, even such as Ibn Ishaq, which is the first biography, the first seerah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, written approximately 80 or so years later. This is the time of Sayyidina Ibn Ishaq, rahimahullah ta'ala. And he states, as do many other historians, that the birth of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam occurred on within the month of Rabi'ul Awwal, which was the 12th of Rabi'ul Awwal. And it stated in the Gregorian calendar, it was 571. It was 571 AD, or nowadays CE, as it goes by the common era, if you wish. This was when Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa ala alihi wasallam blessed the world with his presence. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, yes, was he in the form of Nur, as we stated. But Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was born on the 12th of Rabi' al-Awwal. And this is why we say that the 12th of Rabi' al-Awwal is Eid. The 12th of Rabi' al-Awwal is, yes, it's a day of Eid, a day of celebration. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala states within the glorious Quran, وَمَا أَرْسَلْنَاكَ إِلَّا رَحْمَةً لِلْعَالَمِينَ. We have sent you as a rahmah for the worlds. In another verse of the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us, قُلْ بِفَضْلِ اللَّهِ وَبِرَحْمَتِهِ فَبِذَٰلِكَ فَلْيَفْرَحُوا. The rahmah which Allah, the fadl, the great rahmah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. فَبِذَٰلِكَ, with it you should, فَلْيَفْرَحُوا, this is an order, you should celebrate. Yes, we should celebrate the coming of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, who is a mercy for all of the worlds, sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa ala alihi wasallam. Today, inshallah, we shall hear a little about this. See, the Amina radhiyallahu ta'ala anha, she states that when she gave birth to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam came into this world, Aba Ali ma bain al mashriq wal maghrib, the east to the west was illuminated for her. And see, the Amina radhiyallahu ta'ala anha, she says, hatta nadhartu ila qusur al-Rum. And it's also stated in Sham that there was so much light that she was able to see as far as the palaces of Rome or Syria. So she could see as far as the palaces of Rome, because Rasulullah also was Nur. He was Nur. This was some of the light that of Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam that she had experienced. Some of the scholars say, why as far as Syria? No, why not entirely? Wallahu subhanahu wa ta'ala a'lam bis-sawab. Allah ta'ala knows this. Why? It's as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wished. But some have stated because that was where the empire of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, which was to start in Makkah al-Mukarramah, would reach Syria. And during the lifetime of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, they had reached the borders of Syria, and no doubt it had extended far past the borders and even into Syria and much further, alhamdulillah, subsequent to the blessed apparent life of Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam. Now in Bayhaqi and many other places, Abu Nu'aym, etc., is mentioned that Sayyidina Hassan bin Thabit, the famous poet, yes, he who praises Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in the most beautiful of ways, mashallah, he states, I was a child, I was 7 or 8 years of age, and I used to understand, and I used to see things, and I used to hear things, and I remember. He says that there was a Yehudi, he calls out to the people and he gathers them, and I was listening at the time. And he says, Waylik, Malik, the people say, you know, what's the problem? You know, what are you doing? Why is it you have gathered all of us together? He says, Tala'a Najmu Ahmad alladhi wulida bihi fi hadhihi al-layla. He says, I have seen the star of Ahmad, who has been born in this night. I'm telling you, informing you about this. Another incident mentions that, you know, he came to possibly this one or maybe another. He lived in Mecca, and when this night approached in which Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was to be born, at the end of this, he states that, Ya ma'ashar Quraysh, O Quraysh, O people, hal wulida fikum al-layla mawlud? Was there a birth amongst you last night? Some of the same said, no, but you know, he says, we'll check. But there has to be check properly. And then they go asking around and they hear and they say, yes, the child of Abdullah ابن عبد المطلب. عبد الله ابن عبد المطلب رضي الله تعالى عنهما. That yes, he has had a child. He has had a son, that is. And he says that yes, there is a son, and he is a prophet of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And it's stated that he himself goes to see the sign of prophethood too, between the shoulder blades. And when he saw the sign of prophethood, he becomes unconscious. And then later he states, ذهبت النبوة من بني إسرائيل. Later he states that the Nabuwa prophethood has left the Banu Israel. Because Sayyidina Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam, his lineage went back to Sayyidina Ismail alayhi salatu wa sallam. Yes? And the lineage of others went to Sayyidina Yaqub, Sayyidina Ishaq alayhi salatu wa sallam. And of course, they both linked to Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salatu wa sallam. But all the prophets, they were born. Yes, and they were given to the Banu Israel. Whereas Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the last and final prophet and messenger, he was born amongst the children of Sayyidina Ismail alayhi salatu wasalam. Some of the strange events which did occur, and one was the shaking of the palace of Khosrow and the falling and the crumbling of 14 or so of the balconies of the towers. A huge fire was being built in Faris, in Persia. This fire had lasted for 1,000 years, and that 1,000-year fire was extinguished at the birth of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. This was telling the people, no, a magnificent event has taken place. These were some of the incidents, and many people mentioned many of them. One of the important incidents which did take place was that the jinn kind, and this leads to the history of the jinns and how the jinn kind, they were able to travel. Some of the jinns are such that they have wings, yes, and they're able to fly. And some of the jinns would travel towards the heavens, and they would listen to the angels, and sometimes they would hear the commandments of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala being whispered between one angel to another angel. And then they would come back to the earth, and they would mix this news that they would hear, they would mix this with lies and lies and lies. So much so that it's the 1% of it would be the truth and 99% would be lies. And then they would come and inform the people. Yes, and they would change things. And they would inform the people in the world. And this is how you get soothsayers and all these different types of people who would come and give some news of the future. But these jinns who were able to do all of this, when it came to the birth of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, then what happened? They were restricted from entering the heavens. They were restricted from those places, that if they were to attempt to try to go there, then they would be shot at with a ball of fire. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, another miraculous event from his birth, is that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam himself states that one of the blessings that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had bestowed upon me is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had granted me birth in such a way that I was already circumcised. This is one of the favors of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala amongst me, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has bestowed, one of the many favors that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bestowed upon Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alihi wa ala alihi wa sallam, so that nobody is able to see the private parts of Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alihi wa ala alihi wa sallam. And it's stated by Sayyidina Ibn Umar radhiyallahu ta'ala anhu that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was born masruran makhtunan. He was born with his umbilical cord. See, the umbilical cord is that which attaches the mother to the child in the womb, and it is through that that the child gains their food. Yes, the child gains their sustenance through that through the umbilical cord. Yes, all the requirements, all the nutrients they require for them to grow, yes, for them to develop within the womb, it is all with that. That's how they attain their food. And upon the birth of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, what happens is when a child is born, then the umbilical cord is cut. But this was already cut for Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa ala alihi wasallam. So these are some of the miraculous things. Some have stated that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when he was born, he was also born with antimony. Surma, as we will state, it had already been applied on his eyes. No doubt, the most beautiful of babies, sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa ala alihi wasallam, the most beautiful of births, was no doubt the birth of Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa ala alihi wasallam. Now, a very, very important incident which took place. This is the incident of Thuwayba radhiyallahu ta'ala anha, who had suckled Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. She had given Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam her milk to drink. One of the first foster mothers of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was Thuwayba. For about a week or so, difference of opinion as to how many days she gave her milk to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But a very, very beautiful incident. And this is the freeing of Sayyidatuna Thuwayba radhiyallahu ta'ala anha. Thuwayba was the slave girl of Abu Lahab. Abu Lahab, one of the greatest enemies of Islam. He has been condemned within the glorious Quran itself, so much so that an entire surah of the Quran had been revealed condemning Abu Lahab as well as his wife. What is this incident? To quickly mention it, when Sayyidina Abdullah radhiallahu anhu, he had a child, Sayyidina Amina radhiallahu anha, when she gave birth to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, then news was given to, for example, Abdul Muttalib, news was given to Abu Lahab, who was the uncle of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Later, yes, he became an enemy, but he was an uncle, and naturally he was happy at the birth of his nephew, especially the nephew whose father has passed away, his own brother has passed away. So what happens? Sayyida Thuwayba radhiallahu anha, she went and she gave him the good news. And she says, your brother Abdullah has had a child, he's had a son. And he expresses his happiness and he was so delighted that he points towards Thuwayba radhiallahu ta'ala anha and he says, you are free. He says, you are free, go, you are free. And Thuwayba radhiallahu anha is then freed. Why? Meaning, I am so happy that I have a nephew, that my brother had a son. I'm freeing you out of happiness. Go on, this is my celebration. This is me freeing you. And it said that later, after the death of Abu Lahab, he was seen in a person's dream. That he was seen in a dream and he was asked, how did Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, what happened afterwards? Tell me, what have you experienced in your afterlife? And he says that he has not seen any goodness, he's not experienced any happiness, except that on Mondays, through or from these fingers of him, of his, comes forth a water. And this was due to his freeing Thuwayba. And he did this, why? He was not even a Muslim. In fact, he was amongst the greatest enemies of Islam. But yet upon this, he was given water and he, no doubt, he's destined for the fire of hell. He's in the fire of hell. But on a Monday, he's given water on the day of the birthday of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam because of how he celebrated the birth of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam by freeing Thuwayba. Allahu Akbar, imagine this. Ibn Jazari rahimahullah ta'ala, he stated, if this was a non-Muslim, an enemy of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, one who had made life very, very difficult for Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he treated Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam harshly. If this was him, imagine the state of a Muslim, a believer of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, a lover of Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alaihi wa ala alihi wasallam. Imagine when he would celebrate the birthday of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, what would be his day? What would be even his reward on the day of judgment? Allahu Akbar. And if you someone then inshallah continue celebrating the birthday of Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alihi wa ala alihi wasallam, and inshallah wa azza wa jal, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala shall reward you. So my dear viewers, over inshallah, we should regularly celebrate the birthday of Rasulullah. Yes, regularly. Rasulullah sallallahu would celebrate every single Monday. He would fast on a Monday. And you know that when it comes to celebrating the birthday, mashallah, the scholars of the Ahlus Sunnah wal Jama'ah, they would celebrate and the birthday of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa ala alayhi wa sallam. Continuing in the biography, the seerah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, next we have quite a famous event, a very, very important event. And this is when the foster mother of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa ala alayhi wa sallam comes into his life. Yes, Sayyida Halima radhiyallahu ta'ala anha, Halima as-Sa'diyya radhiyallahu ta'ala anha, who was from the tribe of the Banu Sa'd, that's actually known as Sa'diyya, Halima as-Sa'diyya. Many people say Halima Sa'diyya. Everyone knows Halima Sa'diyya. Who's Halima Sa'diyya? Yes, you would know of so many children. We name them Halima, Halima, Halima. Why? Such a beautiful name, mashallah, azza, because it's the name of the foster mother of Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa ala alayhi wa sallam. The foster father, so the husband of Sayyida Halima radhiyallahu ta'ala anha, his name was Harith radhiyallahu ta'ala anhu. It stated that he became a Muslim and he accepted Islam later. Yes, he was approached even by the enemies of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, but he became a Muslim. His name was Harith. So the foster father of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was Harith. And Rasulullah also had a foster brother by the name of Abdullah. There was a sister by the name of Shayma too, and a third by the name of Unaysa. So Rasulullah had two foster sisters, Unaysa and Shayma, the famous one, as well as a foster brother by the name of Abdullah. So Sayyida Halima radhiyallahu ta'ala, she herself tells us this story, where she states that my husband, you see, the Banu Sa'd, this was their job. Generally, a tribe, they have particular roles. And the Banu Sa'd, their role, their job, their occupation, if you wish, was that they would travel to various cities, and even Makkah al-Mukarramah, and they would take the children, not kidnap the children, no, but they would take the children in exchange for some money. They would be given money too. Yes, they would take the children and they would look after the children in the deserts, in the difficult terrain. Why? So that the children will get good fresh air, good breathing air. They will have access to better but much harder, much more difficult life, so that they may become stronger too, inshallah. So for this reason, to build them, to keep them strong, and also this distance from the parents, yes, which will build them and keep them strong. For this reason, they would be sent to the oasis or to the desert to be brought up by other people, by foster parents. And so was done with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So Sayyida Halima and her husband, they took their son Abdullah, who was crying and crying and crying. And Sayyida Halima radhiyallahu anha, she had restless nights. Yes, at night they were not able to sleep because the son continued to cry, because the son wished for milk. She could not provide her son with a mother's milk. She was not able to provide him just what little she could, but it was not sufficient for him. It was not enough for him. As well as that, they were very, very poor. As well as that, it was a year of famine. Yes, it was a year of famine for them. Life was difficult. Life was very, very difficult. And also they had a she donkey, a female donkey. Upon this female donkey they would travel. And how much is a weak, frail female donkey able to carry? How much is that donkey able to carry? And that donkey was so weak that the rest of the caravan, so they would all together during a particular season of the year, they would all together go and travel out in search for children, newborn children, to take care of. So they would all travel as a caravan. And as they were traveling, the others would rush forward and they were always behind because they had the weaker, the slow animal. Yes, and other people would be thinking, you know, you're holding us back, you're keeping us back. But there's nothing they could do. They had to go out. They were hoping for another child to bring change in their lives, for them to have a better life, inshallah. So this is what they did. They went and then they came to Makkah al-Mukarramah, and the newborn. Remember, one of the miracles of the birth of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is that all the children who were born on that day, they were all male children. Yes, they were all male children. And when they came to Makkah al-Mukarramah, there were many newly born children, whether it's other days they were born in, etc., etc. And each person from those that went in the caravan, they were all given a child. But Sayyidah Halima radhiallahu anha, she was not given a child. In fact, they did hear about the son of Abdullah. And the son of Abdullah, meaning Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, some have stated that he was offered to all the mothers, all of the foster mothers, or all of the women. But they all rejected upon hearing that, does he have a father? No, he doesn't have a father. Without seeing him, this is what they were offered, yes? And they said, oh no, if he's a yateen, if he is an orphan, min al-ab, from the father, meaning he has no father, then we're not going to take him, because then how much money would the grandparents give? That's how much money would we be able to take? So for their own personal reasons, they said, you know, we don't wish to take that child, let's take another child. And they all had some sort of child, they all got some sort of child. But see, the Halima radhiallahu anha, she could not find any child. And so she says to her husband, she says, oh Harith, I feel bad that we are returning and I have no child. I think I will have to take the child who is an orphan. And the husband says that, okay, if you wish to do so, then do so. Maybe Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will bless us or give us blessings in this child. And no doubt this was so true. It stated that Sayyidah Halima radhiallahu ta'ala anha, she goes to the house of Sayyidah Amina radhiallahu ta'ala anha. And when she comes to this house and she comes inside the house and she's brought before Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, it stated that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he was placed on, or he was wrapped in white clothing, and it smelled even more fragrant. It was more fragrant than misk, than musk itself. And there was a green silky cloth placed below Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, below this blessed, beautiful baby. And she came close. فَوَضَعَتُ يَدَيَّ عَلَى صَدْرِهِ فَتَبَسَّمَ ضَاحِكًا. As soon as she placed her blessed hand on his chest, or her hand on his blessed chest, then Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam began to smile. Allahu Akbar. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam began to smile, and then he opens his blessed, beautiful eyes, sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa ala alayhi wa sallam. فَخَرَجَ مِنْ عَيْنَيْهِ نُورٌ. And as soon as he opens his blessed eyes, sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa ala alayhi wa sallam, then nur comes out of his blessed eyes. حَتَّى دَخَلَ خِلَالَ السَّمَاءِ, until it shone throughout the sky. And she stays. Then she just brought herself and she kissed Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And after having kissed Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, what happened, my dear viewers? We have to stop there. Allahu Akbar. My dear viewers, just imagine, like a person has a newborn child. Imagine to have a newborn child, and then you know, they think that child is so cute and you wish to kiss the child and hug the child and caress the child. Imagine Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa ala alayhi wa sallam, the most beautiful of children, the rahmah of all of the worlds, the greatest of all history, the greatest of all men, the beloved of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He came into the world, and Sidha Halima was to take him and to bring him into her arms and to place him against her chest. And when she does this, what happens? My dear viewers, inshallah wa azzajal, you shall find out next episode. Yes, that's all for today's In the Footsteps of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. My dear viewers, inshallah, watch us, join us for the next program to learn what happens next. If I've said anything wrong, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgive me. May Allah ta'ala increase our love and devotion for Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa ala alihi wa sallam. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu ta'ala alihi wa ala alihi wa sallam.
Guided by his example, we walk the righteous path. In the footsteps of the Prophet, with faith and steadfast. In the footsteps of the Prophet, with faith and steadfast.